Well, we have a new series that we're starting, and we're calling it Bridge Builders. And in leading up to Serve Sunday, and we rolled out new mission, vision, values stuff, and part of that is building community. That's the middle part of our mission statement. And so I thought I'd kind of give us, it's been a few months, 6, 7, 8 months since we've talked about that stuff. So this is kind of going to serve as a refresher to that. But in this series, we're going to talk about bridging the gap in our relationships, personally, in within the church, and then also in our community. And so we're going to have the unique opportunity to put this into practice here in real time on a Sunday morning in 2 weeks when we spread out and serve our community. And I'm excited for that opportunity to do that alongside you guys. It's going to be really exciting to be the church and go serve together and be the hands and feet of Jesus. But today, we do have a couple weeks till we get to that. So today we're going to focus on bridging the gaps in our personal relationships. One of the most frightening words in the English language is forgive, right? That's one of the, like, oh man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to forgive somebody or have to ask for forgiveness. Boy, do we like to hold on to stuff, right? No, just me? I can't believe that, right? We really like to hold on to stuff. And I'll tell you, there are three people in this, you've scared y'all. Y'all perked up. Not in this room, good grief. In this world, three people in this world that I still have trouble forgiving. The first one's Tom Brady. Now, I've never met this guy, and he's personally done nothing to me, but I hate his guts sometimes, you know? And it's hard not to. It's hard to not hold a grudge. The other one, Michael Jordan ruined most of my childhood in beating the Pacers over and over again, right? But maybe the worst is Sean Payton from 2009, right? Hey, the Colts play again. We've got a young quarterback. We're ready to go. But in 2009, the Colts went to the Super Bowl again, right? And we were supposed to win, and Sean Payton comes out after halftime and does this onside kick and changes the trajectory of the game, and we lost the Super Bowl. I still can't let go of that. I'm still mad at Sean Payton for that. Anytime I see him on TV, I change the channel. We love, as a people, we love holding a grudge so much. In fact, there's probably even a classmate in your mind that did something to you in fourth grade or third grade or second grade, and you still think about that, right? You still, there's probably someone you went to school with that you don't think very fondly of because of that thing that they did to you back in elementary school. In so many ways, our world today seems to be set up to foster bitterness, to hold on to hurt and unforgiveness. It's too easy to just move on from a relationship because it's difficult or challenging. Right there, we don't need that person. We can just go on to whatever else, right? But we can, right? It's possible to work to build bridges. And in fact, this is a core message of the New Testament, and it's culminated by the death of Jesus on the cross. So the world is in the business of burning bridges, right? The world's in the business of burning bridges. We look at things like cancel culture that's happening in our world. The forgiveness is not on the forefront of the mind of society. Or if you look at not just our presidential, but any elections that happen ever. I mean, it is just, you think, every time I watch an election ad, I think, how in the world are these people going to work with the other side, right? They're just laying waste, burning bridges to get to office and then just ride out the division for 4 years. It's the culture we live in, right? It's the world is in the business of burning bridges, but God is in the business of building bridges, right? God's in the business of bridging the gap, and he uses you and me and the church, right, to do that. And so on the other side of this coin, right, you are also probably someone that somebody has a grudge against from the thing that you did to somebody in elementary school, or the thing that, whenever you have done something. We've all wronged people, right? We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that are wrong. So if we all deal with this sin problem, forgiveness is the first step to building bridges in our relationships. And Richard Hoffler's book, it's called Will Daylight Come? There's a story of how sin can enslave us, but forgiveness can set us free. And this story that he describes, there's a little boy who visits his grandparents and he gets his first slingshot. And he goes out to the woods and he practices, but he never actually hits his target. And so as he leaves his grandparents' backyard, he sees this pet duck that they have. And he thought, well, I've not hit anything yet, right? So he just lets the impulsive thought win, and he takes the shot, lets it fly, and the stone hits the duck, and it falls dead. And the boy panics, and he desperately takes the duck, and he hides him in the wood pile, only to find that his sister Sally saw the whole thing. And so after lunch that day, Grandma says, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally says, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? And she whispers to him, remember the duck. So Johnny does the dishes, and later Grandpa asks if the children want to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. And Sally smiles and says, well, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it. Again, Sally leans over and whispers, remember the duck. Johnny stays a while, and Sally goes fishing. And after several days of Johnny doing this, both his chores and Sally's, he finally can't stand it. And he goes and he confesses to his grandma. And to his surprise, Grandma says, I know, Johnny, giving him a hug. She says, I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. So because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you'd let Sally make a slave of you. Maybe you can relate to this story. Maybe you've been the one who's done something wrong and you're trying to hide it, or you're trying to cover it up, or maybe you've been the one who's holding it over someone's head, right? But either way, you've probably been in both situations before. The reality is that God knows what we've done and what we need forgiveness for and what we need to forgive. And the beautiful thing is that just like that grandma, God is waiting for us to be set free with his forgiveness. So how would this story have been different for Johnny if he would have sought forgiveness right away? Well, he would have saved himself a lot of trouble and a lot of chores, right? And most importantly, he would have got to go fishing. And he didn't get to do any of that stuff. But on a deeper level, how would your story be different if you would have sought out forgiveness or offered forgiveness when it was needed? How would your story be different? Think about that this morning. This is such a relatable story and a relatable topic because it's a matter of when we need forgiveness or when we need to forgive, not if we need to forgive. We all need to be forgiven, and we all need to forgive. And so it's important to remember that forgiveness is this core message, if not the core message, of the New Testament. And one of the primary writers of the New Testament was the Apostle Paul, which is kind of crazy because Paul, very aware of the power of forgiveness. Don't know if you know much about the Apostle Paul, but he was persecuting Christians. He was having them put to death and is now the primary writer of the text that we consider the New Testament. All the letters to all the churches are mostly written by this guy who forgiveness has worked a crazy amount of power in his life. And so Paul was also very aware of the need for forgiveness in the lives of all these congregations that he was planting and ministering to, and one of them being the church at Colossae, which is where we get Paul's letter, Colossians. And before we get to that, we're going to talk about three steps to start bridge building today. And the first one is that you need a good blueprint. To start building a bridge, you need a good blueprint. We're going to be in Colossians today, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. It says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, what's the blueprint, right? The blueprint, it's on your screen. It's going to be on your screen for a while. We'll talk through these four things. But out of this scripture, the blueprint is to set your mind on things that aren't of this world. That's the first step in this blueprint. So, set your mind on things that aren't of this world. The passage we just read, the first couple verses, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And put to death, therefore, you know, all the old stuff. Basically, Paul's saying, hey, you died to self, right? Now, all that stuff that you used to focus on, all those things of this earth that used to matter so much to you, that's not you anymore. If that stuff is what you're focusing on, that's going to become your God, right? He said all these things, he goes, which is idolatry, right? And if you have other gods, why do you need forgiveness in the first place, right? If we're not putting God above all these other things, what do we need? What do we need God for if all these other things become our idols? The second thing in this blueprint is to live openly and honestly with each other. Verses 9 and 10 said, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. Being honest with each other is going to help eliminate future need for forgiveness, right? We won't be forgiven as much. We won't need to give out as much forgiveness if we're being open and honest with each other, if we're living openly and honestly. Paul says living dishonestly was the old way of living. The new you doesn't do that stuff. Number three was focus on what you have in common and not what makes you different. Verse 11 says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If Paul was writing this letter to the church in America today, it might change some of those. It might be that there's no Democrat, Republican, male, female, young, old, et cetera, et cetera. Wherever else we find division today, right? In Jesus, all, Jesus is all, and in Jesus is in all. Since we are God's people, right, we are to treat others with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, that's tough, right? I don't want to treat everybody like that because they don't treat me that way. Sometimes, right? Why would I? But that's the way of this kingdom. That's the way of Jesus, who we're following, who we're modeling our life after. We will never, right? We will never be able to bridge the gap. We're called to bridge the gap. The church needs to be the gap between God and community. We are called to bridge that gap, and we will never be able to do that. We will never be able to bridge the gap between church and community if we're harboring hate for someone. Right? We will never be able to bridge the gap if we're harboring hate for someone or for a group of people because of how they think or operate. Now, that's not to say people aren't wrong, right? There's a lot of people that are wrong, but if we're harboring hate for people, we won't be able to bridge the gap. No matter how wrong people are, no matter how much you disagree with their stance, and frankly, no matter how much their stance disagrees with Scripture, right? as the people of God, we are to treat others with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Amen? Yeah. That's not easy, right? It's hard. It's hard when you see things on the news and people are doing stuff that clearly isn't right, and to say, ugh, I wish that would just go away, right? It's hard to love people and treat people with patience and kindness, but that's what the Holy Spirit's for, right? There's a whole list of those fruits that you get. The last thing in the blueprint is bear with and forgive one another. Now, this one's kind of pointed back in at the church, I think, at us as a group. Bear with and forgive one another. Verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So even though we're a new creation, right? Even though we've taken off the old clothes, we've put on the new clothes, things can still get messy, right? There's always, old life is messy. Things get messy still. And sometimes we will still mess up. And sometimes people are unbearable, right? Scripture's telling us to bear with and forgive. What if they're unbearable, right? I'm unbearable sometimes. I'll admit it, right? I think we all can admit that. When that happens, we aren't supposed to get mad and leave, right? We don't, and not necessarily the church. You know, you can leave a person without leaving the church. We're not supposed to just say, I'll write them off. When that happens, when things do get messy, we're not supposed to get mad and leave, but we're supposed to endure and forgive as God has endured and forgiven us, right? Sometimes there's probably nobody more unbearable and less or more unworthy of forgiveness, and yet God has done that for me, so I have to do that for others. The second step in this, in starting to build a bridge, is choosing forgiveness. So the step one was get a blueprint or having a good blueprint. The second one is to choose forgiveness. And Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43, it says, Jesus is teaching Peter about this picture of forgiveness. And so this chunk right here is a parable. It's Jesus teaching about God's forgiveness. It says, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So God isn't showing favoritism in forgiveness, right? God isn't showing favoritism in forgiveness. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you grateful for that? Because I've done some bad things. I'm not the worst person. Like, there's people who have done worse things, right? But God's forgiving them. It's as if they're the same debt, right? The guy that owes 500, the guy that owes 50, is forgiven both of them. God isn't showing favoritism when it comes to forgiveness. And if we are the lender in that story, right, we would probably be inclined to forgive the small debt. That's the right thing to do. I can live without the 50 bucks. But the large one would hurt, right? Especially right now. I don't have 500 bucks laying around. That would hurt to just forgive that. Or maybe we would forgive the big one, but we would demand an apology, right? Or we would demand a favor in return. Or we would at least get a tax write-off for it. No matter the debt, God chooses to forgive us. Whether it's 50 or 500, God chooses to forgive us. God holds back his anger, and he bears with us over and over again. God meets us where we're at, and he offers us his grace and his mercy. He meets us in our sin and offers his grace and mercy. He always makes the first move to forgive. He's always there waiting. God continues to forgive us even though he knows that we're eventually going to miss the mark again. And God will continue to reach out to us for reconciliation. And there's no probation period with God, right? He doesn't put us on probation and say, well, if you mess up again, that's it, right? Then we're done. He's always ready to forgive. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, suppose someone had grievously offended any one of you and that he had asked for forgiveness. Do you think, you would probably say to him, well, yes, I forgive you, but I cannot forget. This is a sort of forgiveness with one leg chopped off. It is a lame forgiveness and is not worth much. When we put parameters on forgiveness, right, it increases the gap. It doesn't bridge the gap. It increases the gap. When we say, yeah, I forgive you, but it just makes that gap wider and wider. We must seek to become more like Christ, especially in the area of forgiveness. And the last step in bridge building or into start is to start building. Get a blueprint, choose forgiveness, start building. Any good contractor starts with good blueprints and good plans. The example of Jesus is the best blueprint for forgiveness that we can find in the Bible. There's lots of examples, and Jesus himself gave a parable, but this grace poured out, this death on the cross, is the best example, the best blueprint we can find in Scripture. Verse 13 of that original passage says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So if we're not doing these things in the name of love, right, if we're putting parameters, if we're holding grudges in our hearts, even though we say we've forgiven, if we're not doing these things in the name of love, then none of it matters. N.T. Wright puts it like this. He says, the other virtues pursued without love become distorted and unbalanced. Right, if I'm forgiving, but I'm not doing it in love, it's a distortion, it's a perversion of what God has intended for grace to be. I think I have a picture of it, but there you'll see a bridge on the screen if we have it, and it kind of looks like the logo. Maybe you won't, but there's a bridge in San Francisco, and we know it as it's called the Joseph Strauss Art Suspension Bridge. You may know it. There it is. You may know it as the Golden Gate Bridge. It was built in 1937, and this picture. I've never seen it, but it looks crazy. And if you've ever watched Full House as a kid, you're very familiar with this bridge, right? Isn't that the opening? Am I crazy? That's it, right? Yeah. So I think of the Tanner family every time I see this because I've never been there in person. But this is a real big, giant bridge, and it was built in 1937. It took lots and lots of hard work and lots of long hours and thousands of workers, and most importantly, blueprints. A good blueprint and good plans helped create this structure. As Christians, we're called to build to build bridges and to bind everything we do together with love. Just like these workers of the Golden Gate Bridge came together, we too must come together to create a bridge that will close that gap, that chasm that we see in our world today. The gap just keeps growing wider and wider, right? But you look everywhere, politics, whatever. We know everything, and it just puts more and more distance in between us. Now, this isn't an easy task, right? It's going to be hard. It's going to require a lot of work, and it may require other people to support you. Maybe you need support from other people, but there is also the satisfaction of peace when it's all said and done. We're encouraged by Paul to forgive each other, or even if you think this person doesn't deserve it, forgiveness has nothing to do with whether somebody deserves it or not, right? It's all about grace, because the reality is, again, if we're following this blueprint of Jesus, we didn't deserve it, right? He came and he died for us regardless. So, forgiveness is a core teaching of Jesus. It's important. It was a core ministry of his life, and forgiveness is a core calling of ours. So as we leave today, I have two questions for you to think about over the course of this week. The first one is, where are you getting your blueprints? What are you following for your blueprints? Whose plans are you reading, and how can you make time this week to get into the Word of God? The second question is, and you can probably guess, who do you need to extend forgiveness to, or who do you need to ask forgiveness from? right? Don't be like the boy in the story or the brother or the sister, whether we're trying to run away from forgiveness or whether we're trying to hold something over somebody's head. Who do we need to extend forgiveness to this week, and who do we need to ask forgiveness from? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for forgiveness. First off, we thank you for your forgiveness for us, that you would come to earth as flesh and blood, that you would live this life and experience all the things that we experience and then ultimately die on our behalf as the ultimate example of forgiveness. God, you've called us to this sort of backward way of life where we just forgive people, whether they deserve it or not. And I thank you for that. But it's also hard. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to work within us, to help us to be people of forgiveness, to be people that build bridges, not burn bridges, or be people that build bridges, not that extend the gap between. And so, God, this morning, as we close, as we go about our separate ways today, we just ask that you would just keep this forgiveness in the forefront of our minds, and any person that we need forgiveness from or need to give forgiveness to, that you would just keep that, just make us very aware of that this morning. God, we just love you and we praise you. We just want to live lives that glorify you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to sing this morning. Our altars here are always open. It's a great place to come and pray. If you feel like God's been telling you something this morning, just use this time to respond. You can do that up here. You can do that at your seat. But just take these next few moments as we sing this song together and really reflect and respond on what God's been telling you this morning. Would you stand and sing?